KNOM Update News. I'm Matthew Smith, and it's 9:02. Two Alaska State Troopers have been killed responding to a call in the Yukon River community of Tanana, about 130 miles west of Fairbanks. It's unclear exactly what happened, but Trooper spokesperson Megan Peters says in a press release that the two officers were responding to a call Thursday for a suspect allegedly brandishing a weapon. Shots were fired somewhere in the town around 3 o'clock Thursday afternoon. That's according to Tanana resident Mary Edwin from the Fairbanks Daily News Miner. Details remain minimal today, but at least one person has been detained in connection with their deaths. The slain troopers have both been identified, Sergeant Patrick Scott Johnson and Trooper Gabriel Gabe Rich. Both men served in the Fairbanks Rural Service Unit. Peters said Rich had been featured on the reality television show Alaska State Troopers. The Anchorage Daily News reports that the store manager in town, Ruby Kruger, said Thursday evening that the shooting happened near a house on Front Street, but that even in town, details were scarce. The last time a trooper died in the line of duty was March of 2013 in a helicopter accident during a search and rescue operation near Talkeetna, but no trooper has been killed by gunfire since 2001 when Trooper Hans-Peter Roll was shot while pursuing a suspect. After six aircraft accidents in 19 months, including two fatal plane crashes near St. Mary's and Queeflex since November, the National Transportation Safety Board is taking the unusual step of urging the Federal Aviation Administration to conduct an audit of Hägglund Aviation and other air operators falling under the Raven Alaska banner.
Urgent recommendations, quite frankly, they are very rare. And at this point right now, historically-wise, my 17 years with the board, we've never had one here in Alaska.
That's NTSB Alaska Chief Clint Johnston. He says that the board's seven-page letter to the FAA lays out an urgent recommendation to review operations by Hoth Incorporated, the parent company of Hägglund and Raven Alaska, formerly Era Alaska. Johnson says the NTSB's investigation found Hägglund operators allowed flights to be released without knowing all the risks involved in those particular flights, had deficiencies in their training and qualifications, and had 11 documented compliance failures since 2009. Preliminary investigations link all three of those issues to the Hägglund crash in St. Mary's last November. Johnson says the board was set to appeal to the FAA after that crash, but waited for Hägglund to work out a solution.
Right after the St. Mary's accident, we were contemplating issuing this recommendation. However, Hägglund and the FAA got together. They came up with the Operational Control Center. We elected to go ahead and not make the recommendation at the time.
That control center is in Palmer, and Johnson says it provides oversight and management for the company's flights statewide. Despite what Johnson calls monumental changes for the better, Hägglund lost two more pilots in another fatal crash just last month.
Unfortunately, just a short time after that, they had another fatal accident, which caused us to go ahead and institute the urgent recommendation.
Without any regulatory authority, the NTSB can only recommend that the FAA act. To that end, they're calling on the agency to bring an investigative team from outside of Alaska to look at what the board calls Hägglund's operations, policies, and procedures. But the board's letter doesn't stop there. It's also asking the FAA to review itself.
The second part of the recommendation would be an outside entity, an FAA entity, outside of the state of Alaska, to look at the policies, procedures, and the effectiveness of the FAA as far as their oversight abilities.
That oversight includes inspector qualifications, turnover, and workload. The letter specifically highlights a lack of staffing at the FAA-run Anchorage Flight Standards District Office, which the letter says was denied staffing increases over 2 years, during which several accidents occurred, including the St. Mary's crash.
That was some of the items that came out of various interviews that we did have an area to look at, but as far as the final determination is if the staffing levels were adequate, we'll leave that up to the FAA and this third-party team to be able to take a look at it.
The NTSB says it's looking for a response from the FAA within 30 days. Raven Alaska CEO Bob Hadukovich said in a statement late Thursday that the NTSB's request for an audit is, quote, a step behind our own work. He said Raven is in the process of completing an independent audit of Hägglund. A statement from the FAA Thursday said the agency's own work is also ahead of the NTSB's and that a formal answer to the board's letter would come within 90 days. Hägglund Communications Director Steve Smith did not return phone or email messages yesterday. Alaska tribes could place their lands under federal trust, potentially opening the doors for patches of land with tribal sovereignty in Alaska that would operate similarly to Indian reservations in the lower 48. The change comes through a proposed rule from the Department of Interior released Wednesday, which says the change, quote, secures tribal homelands, which advances economic development, promotes the health and welfare of tribal communities, and helps protect tribal culture. But just what the change could mean for Alaska is uncertain.
It doesn't provide a lot of guidance into what it would mean if the lands are, in fact, taken into trust, what the legal and political implications of that would be.
That's Dr. Ryan Forsten, an assistant professor at the University of Alaska Anchorage's Justice Center.
It's possible it could lead to the creation of reservations. It's possible there could be some other legal arrangement for those lands. But ultimately, the goal, at least of the tribes that brought the litigation, was to create the possibility of Indian country in Alaska.
Forsten says within Indian country, tribes hold more control over their lands, govern their own courts, and write their own laws. Alaska is the only state where tribes are not allowed this option, and Senator Mark Begich says he supports opening this opportunity for Alaska's tribes.
But it really is something I've heard from a few of the tribes, and there not many have asked to do it, but they want the option at least to have, and they've been prohibited for many, many, many years since ANCSA passed, so this gives them an opportunity.
When ANCSA did pass, reservations in Alaska were absorbed by Native or village corporations. Currently, the state has only one reservation, that's Metlakatla in southeast Alaska. But Dr. Forsten says putting Alaska lands under federal trust would not necessarily lead to forming reservations.
Right now, all that the regulation really does is, or at least the change in the regulation, is it allows... It gets rid of the Alaska exception, which prevented the Secretary of the Interior from taking lands into trust.
The proposal is now open for a 60-day period of public comment. And the federal government has announced more settlements with tribes for underfunded support costs through Indian Health Service contracts. In a letter to Senator Mark Begich, Yvette Robidoux, director of the Department of Health and Human Services, lists new settlements that include the Aleutian Pribilof Islands Association and the Norton Sound Health Corporation. KYUK's Daisha Eaton reports that the Norton Sound Health Corporation will receive the largest settlement in this latest round at $8.8 million. In all, Alaska tribes have reached agreements with about $209 million worth of back payments. Lloyd Miller, an attorney who represents tribes litigating claims against the agency, says the new settlements are significant, but he says IHS needs to expedite the process.
Only in December have settlements really started to be achieved in earnest. At this pace, it will be 3 to 4 years before all pending claims against the Indian Health Service are resolved, and that is simply too long for shortfalls that have occurred as long ago as 1996.
After a long court battle, the federal government began issuing settlements with tribal organizations last year. In 2012, the agency was facing claims by more than 200 tribes and intertribal organizations, totaling more than $2 billion. Alaska claims represents more than half of the total claims settled by IHS and nearly three-quarters of the value of all settlements to date. Last week, South Central Foundation received the largest settlement in Alaska and in history with more than $96 million. In December, the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation received the second largest settlement at $39 million. 15 settlements are still pending with Alaska tribes. And taking a look at the price of gold in New York this hour, gold prices were up $15.70, with gold trading at $1,301.60 per ounce. Silver up nearly 50 cents at 48 cents up. It's $19.60 an ounce. Zinc was at 93 cents a pound this hour. And Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is on time, estimated to leave Anchorage around 10:10 and arrive in Nome around 11:41 this morning. It's unofficially 38 degrees outside the downtown KNOM station, 11 minutes past 9 o'clock.